taken. 2 weeks ago, I spoke on the benefits of stock taking. And today, by the special grace of God, we are going to be looking at the process of stock taking. There is a process. There's a way to go about taking stock. Amen. I said amen. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5. That's where we have our text. 2 Corinthians 13. Are you there? Verse number 5 says, examine yourselves whether you are in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate? The word examine here is the word test, is the word scrutinize. And it will interest you to note again that the word prove here also means to test. Amen. I said amen. So God wants us to inculcate the principle of taking stock. If you were here 2 weeks ago where we started this series, I defined what stock taking is. In order not to assume that everybody knows what stock taking is, I want to refresh your memory. When we say stock taking, what do we mean? Finances, for instance, look at your academics, look at your business. There is no area of your life that you should not bring under review and assessment. Amen? I said amen. So, how does somebody go about taking stock? Because there is a process of taking stock. Don't forget that the title of our message this morning, this evening, the process of taking stock. What are the things that I need to do? How should I go about taking stock of my life, of my ways, of this year, for instance, of my time? There's a way you go about taking stock. God has not left us in the dark. 1 John 1 verse 5 says, God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. I am going to be spending the greater part of this message on the process, the ways, the approach you are supposed to take if you are going to successfully take stock. Stock of your life, stock of your ways, stock of your activities, and of this year. By the special grace of God tonight, we're going to be looking at least 12 key things that can help us. Now, these are the tools. These are the things you ought to use. And you can always use these things in assessing and examining your life at any point in time. We have about 12 of them, and without wasting time, I want to go straight into them tonight so that at least we can cover all of them sufficiently. Can I have an amen in the house? So, how do you go about taking stock? Now, the first thing that you need to do if you are going to take stock is that you need to start with a grateful heart. Start with what? A grateful heart. Listen, most of the time people get it wrong. When it comes to taking stock, people start from the negative. No, that's not how to go about it. Listen, if you want to take stock, don't focus on the negative. Amen? Now, I'm not denying the fact that there are areas of your life you need to improve on, but start with gratitude. That's how to go about it. Listen, if you want to successfully take stock, begin with a grateful heart. What do I mean? Be grateful for where you are. Be grateful for what you have received. Be grateful for what you have accomplished. Listen to me here. Most of the time, people focus on, what is not going well. People focus on things that will not help them to get a better perspective of things. If you are going to successfully take stock of your life, of your work, of your marriage, of your ministry, or anything that you may be doing, begin with gratitude. Let that be your approach. Amen? Because the truth of the matter is this. It doesn't matter how bad things are with you. There is something to be thankful for. There is something. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18, in everything give thanks, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Philippians 2 verse 14 says, do all things without murmurings and disputing. Listen, it is very easy to complain. It is very easy to murmur. Amen, somebody? Now, if you start your evaluation with murmuring, if you start your evaluation with complaining, you will not get the best out of stock taking. So, the way to go about stock taking is not to murmur. It's not to grumble. Amen, somebody? At times, people grumble. Oh, look at my life. Look at where I am. Look at things. I don't even know how my life is going. Now, if you start on a complaining note, it will becloud your sense of judgment. That's why, as a truly grateful soul, you cannot tell me that there are things that God has not done. Amen, somebody? Listen, don't focus on the negative. Listen, as human beings, we are prone to always identifying what is not going well, what is not going right. Amen? If you start on a positive note, somebody will say, start on a positive note. I saw something in a book I read some time ago. It said, find something positive in every situation. You know, there's a good side to every situation of life. I'm speaking to you tonight prophetically. Wherever you may be, there's a good side. Amen, somebody. So stop, you know, say start with a grateful heart. Do you know how many people started this year with you? Hello, somebody? I mean, if you look at your goals list, for instance, probably in your evaluation, you have scored 50%. Do you know how many people who did not even have goals to begin with? Are you in the house tonight? So, you need to have a right perspective. That means say, have a right perspective. There's a story I had of two friends who were going in the desert. And as they were going, they had an argument. And one of them got very upset and slapped the other person. Amen. What did I say? Slapped him. Amen. Now, slapped him to the extent that the guy was almost hot. And you know what that friend did? That friend wrote on the ground, today, my best friend slapped me. Amen, somebody. So they went home. Amen, somebody. After a while, they saw an oasis. Now, you see, when you see an oasis in the desert or wilderness, there as well, there's water. So they jumped into the oasis. They had a good bath. Amen, somebody. And have some refreshing, no? I mean, things also. Now, while that was going on, the one that was slapped, amen, somebody, they don't know that there is man in that place, and started, you know, I mean, drowning, amen, somebody. Now, the friend that slapped him jumped back into the water and helped his friend out, amen, somebody. Hello, somebody. And he wrote on a stone. Amen, somebody? He said, today, my best friend saved my life. So that friend was like curious. The other time when I slapped you, you wrote on the ground. Today, my best friend slapped me. Now you have wrote on stone. Today, my best friend saved me. He said, why? Why are you writing? What's the purpose of this writing? He said, this is the reason why I wrote. He said, the first one, when you slapped me, and I wrote on the sound, today my best friend slapped me. The reason is because, you know, I wanted the wind. Amen. Someone say wind. Wind of forgiveness. Amen. to blow across. You know, when you blow across sand, it will clear it out. Amen, somebody. He said, but on the second account, where you saved my life, I didn't write on the sand, I wrote on stone. So that, you know, the wind will not be able to blow away the memory of what you have done, the good that you have done for me. And you know, that's how we are supposed to approach life. Amen, somebody. The things we are supposed to etch in stone are the things that have made significant impact, not the what? Not the odds, not the disappointments. We are prone to magnifying the disappointments. We are prone to magnifying our frustrations instead of identifying the positives in the negative. So stop your neighbor. Say, if you are going to start your evaluation, start with a grateful heart. That's the first thing you must do if you are going to successfully take stock. Now, the second step in taking stock of your life or this year is for you to find the time to reflect. You see, we are living an age whereby people just live without evaluating their lives. An unexamined life is a dangerous kind of life to live. When all you are doing is just, you are living day in, day out, month in, month out, and you don't have a time for reflection. Say reflection, somebody. God wants us to reflect. That's why He gave you a mind. Hello, somebody. Listen, if all you do is just to live and you don't have times of reflection, you are not fulfilling one of the fundamental purposes of being a human being. God did not create you to just occupy space. He didn't just create you to exist. Hello? So tap your neighbor, say, part of stock taking is what? A time of reflection. People call it time of sober reflection. People call it time of reflective thinking. It's the same thing. Find the time to reflect. That's how you take stock. Find the time to reflect. You can't say you are so busy, you don't have time to reflect. If you don't reflect, how will you know the things that you have done well and the things you didn't do well? If you don't reflect, how do you know whether you're going forward or going backward or you are stand still? Are you in the house tonight? I said, are you in the house tonight? If you're in the house tonight, give me a better amen. That's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3, 13 verse 5. It says, examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. Now, why did he say that? Listen, the onus is on you to check up on yourself. Because most of the time, we don't reflect. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 59, he said, I thought on my ways, and I turned my feet to your testimony. He had a time of what? Reflection. I thought on my ways, and I took action. That's what happened to the prodigal. Amen? The prodigal in Luke 15, verse 17, he said, when he came to himself. So the question is this: was he sleeping before? Listen, I've told you there's a difference between living and existence. 1 Timothy 5 verse 6 says, there is he that liveth in pleasure. While she what? While she liveth. There's he that is dead, but listen, the person is dead, but the person thinks he's living because the person is living in pleasure. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor. Say, you need to have a time of reflection. That's how you take stock. You must have a time of reflecting. Reflect on your ways this year. God told Israel, Haggai 1 verse 5, verse 7, thus saith the Lord, consider your ways. In other words, set your heart on your ways. God wanted them to evaluate. Ladies and gentlemen, there are many benefits. What are some of the benefits of reflection? Number one, reflection will help you to gain valuable experience. That's one of the benefits. of reflection. Listen, because you will be able to know the things that went wrong and the things that went well. You're gaining wisdom. You're gaining experience. Another benefit of reflection is that it gives you clarity on things. You have a better clarity on, what I call better clarity on things. That's part of the benefits. Why should I reflect? Another reason you should reflect is because it helps you to assess your opportunities and the threats that is available. You see, as you can see, the benefits. In fact, another very important benefit of reflection is that it helps you learn from your mistakes. Because when you reflect, like I said, you're able to see the things that went wrong, and you're able to see what you need to do to fix it. Amen? I said amen. Why should we reflect? I love this one. To give you a better perspective on things. You know, at times that we don't see things the way they are until you start reflecting. You may miss some valuable lessons. So tell your neighbor, you need to reflect. That's how you take stock. You need to find the time. Don't be caught up with the busyness of life. I don't have time. You know something? At times we face what I call a reality check. When people break down. Amen, somebody. Hello, somebody. When you can't do any other thing. Amen, somebody. That's when some people start reflecting. I've seen people when they are in a situation of life and death, they now start reflecting. Hello, somebody. Listen, you don't need to wait till that time before you start reflecting. Make it a part of you. Amen, somebody. I said amen, somebody. So how do I go about reflection? I'm going to give you some tidbits. These are things that will help you to reflect. Number one, carve out a time. Carve out a time when you can be alone, quiet, and you will not be disturbed. Jesus had a culture. Mark 1:35, he always went into a solitary place and there he spent time with God. You must carve out a time. Listen, people say, I don't have time. That's a lie. You always have time for the things you value. If you value your life, you value your progress, you value your walk with God, you will create time to reflect. Amen? Number two, find a place where you can be alone and not easily disturbed. It's not just enough to find the time, you must find a place. Say a place. Because, you know something? Thinking is not an easy job. Like some people think. It's not easy. Amen, somebody. That's why you must be in the right frame of mind so that you cannot be disturbed. Find the time, find the place. Then number three, list out all the questions you would love to explore. Because, listen, when you're in the place of sober reflection, when you're in the place of reflective thinking, you are there to ask questions. You want to provide answers to things. You know, the kind of questions you ask will determine the kind of response you get. How many people know that? I said, how many people know that? The kind of questions you ask will determine what? The kind of answers you get. So the question is this. Someone said, what kind of questions? All kinds of questions. Questions like what? What made this year successful? Or what made this year, you know, the way it is for me? Those are some of the questions. Did I achieve all the things that I set out to do? I'm giving the ideas of questions you can ask. What surprised me the most this year? What did I learn? What did I gain? Where did I do well? Where did I falter? Listen, you can ask all kinds. You see, the reason I say you list out the question is because it's going to help you to think better. Hello? I said hello, somebody. If you are still here, say amen, somebody. We need to find a time. We need to ask ourselves these questions. Then another thing that can help you to reflect is to pick a subject that you want to reflect on. When I say subject, what do I mean? You want to reflect on your spiritual life? You want to reflect on your finances? You want to reflect on your marriage? You want to reflect on your academics? I mean, business. There are several things you can reflect on. Reflect on your profession, your career. Amen. I said amen. Reflect on how you have used your time. Reflect on this year. I mean, there are so many things you can reflect on. Amen, somebody. I said amen, somebody. Number five. Is that five? Now, make sure you jot down your answers to each of these questions. And be very sincere with yourselves. I mean yourself. You know, at times people ask questions and the answers they give, you know you are not telling the truth. Look at your neighbor and tap it. Don't deceive yourself. I mean, listen, when you are faced with this question, you must provide the right kind of answers. Then number six, identify the action steps you need to take to act on your findings or discoveries. Listen, I'm not just asking you to go on a jamboree. Amen, somebody. What do I mean by jamboree? Oh, I sit down there. I'm reflecting. I'm thinking. I'm asking myself questions. I'm writing things down. Things that I don't want to do anything about. Your life will not change if that's your objective. If you want to see meaningful progress, if you want to achieve greater success, you must take action steps. See, action steps. It's not just enough to identify the problem. It's not just enough to even provide solutions. You must take actions. Amen? I said amen. Then number seven, celebrate your successes on the milestone, because there will be successes. Celebrate it. Don't take it lightly. I mean, rejoice and glory in the fact that God has given you some wings. Amen? But the point that I want to establish is this. There is no how you take stock without reflecting. So ask your neighbor this question. Have you started reflecting? You know one of the reasons why some people don't go forward? They don't reflect. I do a lot of thinking. Amen, somebody. Listen, there's no how you can break your records. There's no how you can improve. There's no how you can stretch if you don't take the time to reflect. You see, I don't get carried away by what people are telling me. Amen, somebody. You know, there's a way some people live on the recommendation of others. Now, don't get me wrong, even if you are doing so well, thank God. He said, don't let it get to your head. Hello? I said, hello, somebody. That's why I tell people, people are not my yardstick. God is my yardstick. Amen, somebody. Hello? Come on. I said, hello? Are you here? You've gone home. I said, hello, somebody. Don't look at people. Don't look at things. You need to do what you know you need to do, regardless of whose ox is God. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor. Say, you need to start reflecting now. That's what stock taking is all about. Stock taking is about finding the time to reflect. Find the time to reflect. If there's no reflection, there's no stock taking. Because what you call stock taking is that you're assessing, you're examining, you're looking at things critically. And you need to do that. The psalmist says, I thought of my ways and I turned my feet. There's the place in Lamentations 3 verse 40. It says, let us search and try our ways and return to God. You cannot return if you have not searched where you are standing, where you are. because it takes evaluation and assessment to know what is wrong and the things that is right and how to fix it. If you are getting something, say amen to somebody. Number three, I need to run because I want us to cover all these 12 steps tonight. How do I go about the business of taking stock? Number three, review where you are now. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5 says, examine yourselves whether you are in the faith. Now, you can see that the onus, the responsibility is on you. It's like saying, step on the scale. Amen, somebody. Tap it up and say, step on the scale. That's what it's saying. Some people are afraid of stepping on the scale. You know what? You are probably scared what the scale is going to read. You know what I'm talking about? Step on the scale. And the way you just say, no. Because you are probably scared what you are going to see. You don't want to see it. Amen, somebody. Hello, somebody. But is it not better to face it, amen, somebody, than avoiding it? Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor. Say, do you know where you are now? But let me ask you this question. Where are you now? You see, you cannot do effective stock taking if you don't ask yourself, where am I now? You know, that was a very important question God asked Adam when he came in the cool of the evening in the garden. Genesis 3:9. He says, Adam, where are you? Somebody said, what's the importance of knowing where you are? It's important to know where you are because it will determine what you see and who sees you. Let me say it again. Why is it important to know where I am? Because it will determine what you will what see and who sees you. Zacchaeus knew that. That's why he ran to climb what? The tree. Amen. So where you are, that's why if you are not strategically positioned, nobody will see you. Amen, somebody. And if you are not strategically positioned, you may not see where. Are you getting what I'm saying tonight? Because some of you are looking at me in a strange way tonight. Look at your neighbor and say, are you getting what pastor said? It's important to ask yourself. This is part of stock taking. Review where you are now. Ask yourself, where am I? Now, when I say, where am I, there are many ways you can apply this question. For instance, where are you now vis-a-vis your goals, your targets for this year? Where are you now? Vis-a-vis your objectives. Where are you now vis-a-vis your dreams, your vision? You know your dream. You know your vision. Where are you now? With regards to that vision, with regards to that dream. Where are you now with regards to your plans, your purposes, and your pursuits? Where are you? I mean, are you on track? Or have you fallen off track? Where are you now vis-a-vis your expectations, your desires, and your aspirations for the year? Where are you? Where are you now with regards to your decisions and the destiny of your life? Where are you? You made certain decisions, probably at the beginning of this year. You decided certain things, but where are you now? You need to be able to score yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, perhaps. Amen? Where are you? Where are you with regards to, where are you vis-a-vis where you were before. You know you were somewhere before. Hello? How can I know whether I'm making progress when I look at where I was before and where I am now? Hello, somebody? That's how you know whether you're making progress. Where were you before compared to where you are now? Amen, somebody. You see, somebody saw me and he was saying, why are you saying this? Why are you doing this? I said, I don't take things very easy with myself personally. Amen, somebody. I have high standards. In fact, at times, my wife will say it's impossible standards. Amen, somebody. And it's true. Amen, somebody. But that's how you can grow. Amen, somebody. That's how you can stretch. At times, if you just set things that you know will not challenge you, will not move you. Like a man of God said, he said, if God is your partner, make your plans big. Do you know that small plans have no means of moving God? So if it doesn't move God, why have you said something small? Where are you? Tap it up and say, where are you now? Where are you vis-a-vis where you set out to go? You set out. There's a place you set out to go at the beginning of this year. Where are you? Amen, somebody. I said, amen, somebody. Where are you with regards to, where are you vis-a-vis your way to where you are going? Your ability to answer these questions will help you to take stock. You must ask yourself this question. Where are you? Amen, somebody. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, you reveal where you are now. The good thing about evaluation and review is that when you look at where you are now, vis-a-vis where you said you are going, that's how you can measure your progress. Amen? I said amen. Please, take the time. Make sure you do this. Review where you are now. I always tell people, if others are deceiving you, you must not deceive yourself. Amen, somebody. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, take a review of where you are now. That's part of the process of stock taking. Number what now? Number four. Amen, somebody. We're looking at the process of stock taking. Number four. This one is very important. Ask the Lord to beam a such light on you. The psalmist said in Psalm 139, 23, 24, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me, O Lord. The word try there means to test. Try me, O Lord, I know my thoughts. Amen. Verse 24 now says, and see if there be any wicked way or way of grief in me, and lead me where? In the way of life everlasting. There's a scripture that has blessed me, Psalm 17, verse 3. It says, thou visited me in the night. It said, thou hast proved my heart. Thou visited me in the night. And thou shalt find nothing. I am purposed that I will not transgress with my mouth. If God visits you, what will he find? Hello, somebody. You know, I always tell people this. And this is one of the reasons why this is something that is very important. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Hello, somebody in the house. I said the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of truth. If you honestly want to take stock of your life, of your ways, of your walks, of your time, get him involved. One of the things I do when it's getting towards the end of the year is that in my times of, conversation with God, I always ask God, Holy Spirit, search me. Beam your light. You know, it's called light. God is not called light for decoration. 1 John 1 verse 5. God is light, and in him there's what? No darkness. Jesus is referred to what? As the light. The Bible says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus said himself in John 8 verse 12, he says, I am the light of the world. You see, when light, when you beam, say beam somebody, it's like you focus light on something, it helps you to see better. There's a scripture that has blessed my heart. I don't want to quote it. Go to Isaiah 42. Because, you know, people say, why am I beaming light on? What should I beam light on? Look at Isaiah 42. From verse 18. Hear, ye deaf. Look, ye blind. Why? That you may see. Except until God opens your eyes, you are blind. Until God opens your ear, you are deaf. I'm telling you. He says, hear. Some say, hear. Ye deaf, look what? That you may want. The Bible says, the hearing hears and the seeing eye are from the Lord. Proverbs 20 verse 12. You see, when you invite God, when you say, God, please, beam your satellite on me. Help me to see the things that I do not see. So, you see, when you invite God to help you to take stock, you'll be amazed at what you are going to discover. You know we are limited. How many people know that? You are limited. There's a limit to what you can see. There's a limit to what you can see about yourself. There's a limit to what you can see about your life. You can't see beyond your nose. In actual fact. But there's a God that sees in secret and rewards out openly. There's a God that sees what men don't see. You know, God does not see the way man sees. Oh, if God saw the way man, if God saw the way man sees, there's no how David would have become the king. Because they didn't even remember him when they brought everybody out. They didn't even consider him. The first seven have failed. He said, he's in the forest. He's in the bush. God does not see the way man sees. That's why you must invite God to help you to take stock. There's a limit to what you can see. There's a limit to what you know. But when you invite him, he will show you things that may even shock you. You know, there was a time I was asking God, Lord, search me through and through and through. Help me to see the things that is wrong. And I went to the Spirit and then zoom in. Say, zoom in, somebody. I said, this one. I said, hey. Amen, somebody. You know, you'll be surprised. It's not like it is. I said, look, what over? It's as plenty as this. Because God knows you more. Hello, somebody. You know, some people will not pray that kind of prayer. Say, because you don't want, you know the answer. Say, I don't want to go to that area. But how do you want to do a proper assessment if you are not truthfully or if you are not brutally frank with yourself? I'm coming to that in a minute. Amen. Let's read on. Who is blind but what? My servant. Or deaf as what? My messenger that I sent. Who is blind as he that is what? Is perfect, but the Bible says blind. And blind as the Lord's what? Then he said in verse 20, seeing many things, but thou what? Observest not. Do you know that many things that we see, we don't observe? Opening the ears, but he heareth not. There's nothing that escapes the eyes of the Almighty God. Please, as you take stock, don't take stock in your own power alone. Invite the Holy Spirit. Tell him, bring your searchlight. Help me, O Lord. And you see, there are several advantages of asking God to shine his light on your life, on your ways,
on your part.
What are some of the advantages? Number one, God will help you to see the things that you cannot see. There are things that you cannot see. Only God can see it. And He will reveal it to you in Jesus' name. Number two, another advantage of asking God to help you to search you out is that it helps you to see things that you are blinded to. There are things that you are blind to. You know, everybody has what we call a blind what? Sight. Say there's a blind sight. You have a blind sight. It doesn't matter how perfect your vision is, you have a blind sight. That's to tell you the limitations of man. God does not have any blind sight. That's one of the advantages of allowing God to help you. Another advantage of asking the Lord to shed His light on you is that He helps you to see the things that you don't want to see. You know, there are things about you, your ways, that you don't want to see it. Why do you think people keep secrets? Hello, somebody. Why do people keep secrets? Because people don't want others to see what? Certain things. But there's nothing that is hidden to God. Amen. These are one of the advantages of asking the Lord to help you in your stock taking. Another advantage is that it helps you to see the true nature of things. Oh, when you ask Him to help you, it will show you the true state of things. True state of things with regards to your life. True state of things with regards to your work. True state of things. God is not a deceiver. God is not into hypocrisy. Amen, somebody. God is not into, you know, what men do. Amen, somebody. God does not do that. He helps you with the honest assessment of things. So get Him involved. Somebody say, get Him involved. Another advantage of asking the Lord to help you in your stock taking. How many have I given you now? Number five is that God helps you to hear what you cannot hear. There are certain things you can't hear except God helps you to hear it. Another advantage of asking God to help you in your stock taking is that He helps you to hear the things that you are deaf to. There are certain things that we are deaf to until God helps us to hear. Then finally, number seven, another advantage of asking God to help you is that He helps you to hear things that you don't want to hear. I'm going to use the funny story in the Bible, 1 Kings 22. 1 Kings 22 from verse 7 to 37. There was a king known as King Ahab, a very wicked king. He called one of his allies, one of the kings, that was the king of Israel. King of Ahab was king of Israel. He called one of his allies, which was Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. Amen. And they came together. That's 1 Kings chapter 22. The Bible makes me to understand that he wanted to go to war. Jehoshaphat is a very wise person. When 400 prophets came and said, go with him, he said, please, is there not a prophet of God in this land? He said, there's one man, he doesn't speak well, that's why we didn't invite him. He said, don't call him now. He said, I know his prophecy. He will always say what is wrong. Jehovah said, go and call him. Let's see, hear him. They sent for Micaiah, the son of Imlah. You can read the whole story. You know, the guy who came to bring him, he said, okay, they have sent for you. Don't say something wrong. Make sure you say something that will please the kingdom. He said, whatever the Lord, don't say whatever the Lord, has put into my, that's what I'm going to say. Now, it's a very funny story. Go and read the whole story. It's a very fun. Why did I say it's funny? Somebody came and said, don't go. Even somebody. Then, because there were popular fake prophets, more than 400, he said, go. He went ahead. Do you know that was how King Ahab died? Listen, he had something he didn't want to hear. You know, at times truth is very painful or bitter to swallow. You see, that's why you cannot do stock taking all by yourself. Get God involved. Make it your prayer. Holy Spirit, shine your light. Shine your light on me. Shine your light on this year for me. Shine your light on my ways. What are the things that I need to see that I don't see? He will show you. Amen, somebody. The Spirit of God is a revealer of the secrets. Secrets of God and things that are hidden. The Bible says the Spirit searches how many things? All things. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 10. Yay! The deep things of God. So tap your neighbor and say, get God involved in your stock taking. That's how to take stock. Let's run now. Number what? Number five. This is very important. How do you go about taking stock? Seek out for honest and genuine feedbacks. You need feedbacks. I'm not talking about fake or deceptive feedbacks. Let me give an example. There was a king, King Herod, to be precise. Acts 12, verse 22. The Bible said he made a speech. And people said, this is the voice of a God and not a man. Now, that is what? That's a deceptive feedback. I mean, he took it in. The Bible says right there, God struck him, angels struck him, they consumed him. I mean, instant judgment. My name is somebody was eaten by worms. I'm not talking about deceptive feedbacks. I'm not talking about feedbacks from quarters that you like to hear. Even somebody. But feedback is important. Feedback is part and parcel of the business of stock taking. Hello? Somebody say honest and genuine feedbacks. You need it. Proverbs 15 verse 12. It says the scorner will not go to the wise. Neither will he go to the person that will rebuke him. Apologies, but this is the truth. Most of our political leaders, they are not interested in hearing the truth. They're interested in hearing what will please them. And at times, most of the people that are around them are the problem. Because you see, they don't tell them the true state of things. They tell them what they want to hear. And they are not, you see, that's not honest feedback. That's not honest feedback. That's not genuine feedback. You need honest feedback on things. It's part of the process of taking stock. Hello? Let me imagine you're in business. You need honest feedback from your customers. You need it. Otherwise, how do you know how to take your business to the next level? Hello? Glory be to God. Now the question arises, where can we get honest feedback? Because you have to be honest. You have to be sincere. Where can you get genuine and honest feedback? Number one, from people who truly care about you. For instance, your spouse. I know some people are looking away from me now. Isn't it? People who genuinely care about you. Your spouse, your friends. I'm not talking about acquaintances. I mean friends, real friends. Hello? You get honest feedback. I remember a friend of mine years ago when I was in University of Jos. He came back and we saw and we were, you know, after we were conversing, before he came, he was telling us that he was in a relationship, that his life is never has never remained the same. Of course, we're happy for him. But, you know, when we sat him down, I and a friend of mine, we started having a conversation. We started feeling that, no. Oh, boy. This thing is not correct. This he said, no, it's the love of my life. No. Amen, somebody. Now, he was really loved because you could see it all over him. Amen, somebody. The picture of the sister was in the Bible and several other things were there. Amen. He was carrying the picture all over the place. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. But, you see, when some of his ways, we started seeing some changes. He said,
oh God, you didn't used to be like this before. He said, something's wrong.
He said, no, there's nothing wrong with me.
Now, we were his friends. His friends. We told him the truth. You have changed it. Your fervency have gone down. Some of the things you didn't used to accept, you have accepted it now. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong now. There's nothing wrong with what do you call this thing again? It will smooch you. I said, no, we are matured. I said, what we do? We do what? Now, this is something that he didn't used to concede to all of a sudden. He said, do you know? As we took him on, say, took him on. He was denying it. But when we saw him the following day, he said, you know what? The thing you have said is correct. You see, that is honest and genuine feedback. We told you, we are not interested in your fiancé. Because we were not engaged there. Because part of the thing was said that, hey, you are jealous. It's because you are not engaged. I said, he said, you know if you were engaged. I have to tell him. Because it was insinuating, it's because you are not in love. That you don't know how it does people. What about it does? I mean, is it does or do? You never want to tell me. I'm trying to say it in Yoruba. Oh, my boss is saying it. And I said, God, we are not yet engaged, but this thing we are seeing you are doing is. But you see, when it's the Holy Spirit has a way of doing. He saw, he said, what you have said is correct. It's correct. I need you. You see, you get honest feedback from people who truly care about you. Your spouse knows you better than another person. So if your spouse is saying, is the other way around, amen, somebody. Stop arguing, amen, somebody. You're all very quiet now, amen, somebody. Glory be to God in the highest. You get honest feedback from those kind of sources. Another place you can get honest feedback from is from your mentors, your coaches, and your leaders. Those are people that are over you, people that you respect and you revere. They will give you honest and genuine feedback. The Bible says in the multiple counselors there is safety. Proverbs 11 verse 14. Where can you get honest feedback from? Number 3. From people who are close to you. People who are close to you. You can get honest feedback from those kind of places. Number 4, I'm trying to run because of time. From people who will tell you the truth no matter how bitter it is. You know, some people will not tell you the truth no matter how bitter it is. Because they don't want, to get on your wrong side. Anybody who cannot tell you the truth, no matter how bitter it is not your true friend. They're watching you. You want to enter into fire, and they cannot caution you. That person is not your friend. Hello? Where can you get honest feedbacks from? Number what now? 5. From people who can't. Notice the word. They can't be bribed, manipulated, or controlled by you. You can't bribe them. You can't manipulate them. They will give you honest and genuine feedback. Then number 6, from people and places you least imagine or think of. One man known as Ken Blanchard, one of the leading, voices in management, said, none of us is as smart as all of us. Think about it. None of us is what? As smart as what? All of us. See, there's a lot of wisdom in shared thinking. That's the benefit of feedback. Amen, somebody. I always tell people, don't just use the brains that you have alone. Use all the brains you can borrow. You need the input of others when it comes to taking stock
You know, Moses' father's in-law, Jethro, he was not a Jewish man, but he gave him what? Advice. I mean, think about it. Who will advise Moses? I mean, this is somebody's. I mean, God speaks mouth to mouth to him. The guy came to visit him and he saw the way he was running. He said, "Oga, you will die before your time." Now read this next verse 18. "You're going to kill yourself. Everybody's coming to you. You will die before your time." He now gave him wisdom. He's how to go about it. Delegate. Say delegate somebody. He taught him the principle of delegation. He said, "The hard matters, let it come to you. Let there be leaders over tens, over hundreds, over thousands. That way you will live long." Because everybody will keep waiting for Prophet Moses from morning till evening. That's the normal routine. You will wear out. Amen. Somebody. Look at your neighbor and said, "Impute. He that is taught only by himself has a fool for a master." A man by the name of Ben Joseph said that. He that is taught only by what? Himself. Has what? A fool for a master. I have benefited from the imputes of men. Feedbacks are very important. You see, listen, you may be looking at things from this angle. There are ways people see the same thing. What? The same thing you are looking at from a different perspective, other will give you a much more deeper perspective. I remember there was an issue I had some time ago. I was really battling with it. I had to go about it. When I saw some of my friends, very good, and I told them, I was so shocked that the answer that I was looking for was right there. I never saw it in the way. But that's the benefit of feedback. See feedback. It is part of the principle of taking stock. You need honest and genuine feedback. It will help you to take stock properly. If you understand what I said, say amen. Number six, we're looking at the process of taking stock. How do we take stock? Another very important part of the business of taking stock is that this one is very important. Be open and transparent with yourself and God. Let me say this. If you want to succeed in the business of taking stock, you have to be brutally frank with yourself. What did I say now? Listen, if you are not sincere, if you are not honest with yourself, and you are not honest before God, your stock taking will be an exercise in futility. You see, because as you begin to take stock, questions will arise that you must answer how? Truthfully. Say truthfully, somebody. You see, if you are not sincere with yourself, there's no how you can do a thorough stock taking. It's just like somebody who owns a shop, a business. You are taking stock. Instead of writing, how many bottles of Five Alive you have? You know that it should be 50. You wrote 20. Who are you deceiving? You are deceiving yourself. You are going to kill that business. Hey, are you here tonight? Tap it and say, be sincere with yourself. Be sincere. God said something to me this afternoon. He said, when we have the courage, not just to face the truth, but to accept the truth, then we are on our pathway to maturity. Some people cannot accept the truth, even when they see it. Even when it is staring them in the face, they are denying it. You know, you can be the architect of your downfall. You can. Because when you are confronted with truth and you are still living in self-denial, listen, it's possible to be deceived by others. The worst kind of deception is to deceive yourself. You are the one deceiving yourself. Years ago, I saw a lady and
were talking. She kept me from counseling
or relationships.
Then she told me about someone that she was believing God for.
Now watch this. In her own testimony, the person she's believing God for is already married.
And I was saying, you are wasting your time.
This is what the Lord said to me. What did he say the Lord said to you again? God is not a confusionist. God is not the author of confusion. I said, you go wait till.
That's what tire.
Not even short a tire. I mean, see, what I'm telling you may look funny, but I'm telling you a real story. You can see that this person is already self-deluded. I mean, you're deceiving yourself. You know, at times, when you are confronted with it, it takes courage to accept it. Some people will be denying it, even when they are confronted with the truth. Say, Ali Wali Sela.
So whom did we see? Your second? Or your twin?
Hello?
Look at the river and tap it and say, you need to have courage. You need to have courage to accept the truth. Truth about what? Truth about yourself. Truth about your state. Truth about your condition.
If you don't have the courage to accept the truth about where you are not going forward.
Amen.
This is very important. Truth. God desires truth in the inward parts, says the psalm. It desires truth.
Deuteronomy 18 verse 13, it says, thou shalt be perfect with the Lord your God. The word perfect there means upright and sincere. God told Father Abraham, Genesis 17 verse 1, walk before me and be perfect. The word perfect there means upright and sincere. Be straightforward. Look at your neighbor and tell us they be straightforward. Listen, you cannot deceive God. You may succeed in deceiving men, though I need to ask, not for a long time though, because sooner or later, the truth will catch up with you. Amen, somebody.
What I'm telling you may look like an oxymoron, but I've seen people who are not sincere with themselves. Listen, you cannot make a successful outcome of stock taking if you are not sincere with yourself.
If you understood what I said, say I hear. Self-delusion is dangerous. There's nothing you are going to benefit from lying. There's nothing you are going to benefit from being fraudulent. There's nothing you are going to benefit from not being sincere with yourself.
This is a very important process of stock taking. You must be sincere with yourself. You must be sincere before God.
You know, at times, I tell people, when God asks you a question, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. God is testing you. Amen. Somebody. Have you ever wondered? He's asking you a question. Look at this. Where are you? God knows he's not there. God wants him to be truthful. Rather than being truthful, he started giving stories. Talk and boo stories. It's not me. Is that what God asks you? Look at your neighbor and tap him and say, don't deceive yourself. Oh. I always tell people can be deceiving you, but the worst kind of deception, you are the one deceiving yourself. That will never be your portion in Jesus' name. Number seven, we are looking at the process of taking stock. These are the things you must consider as you take stock. Number seven, look at what you have potential for, but you are not yet manifesting.
You see, part of the process of taking stock is not just to assess your accomplishment, to also assess your prospects. Look at what you have potential for that you are not manifesting. By the way, what is potential? Potential is hidden talent. What is potential? Potential is unused power. What is potential? Potential is, you know, hidden talent, unused power, or untapped resource. What you can do, but you are not yet doing. Where you can be, but you are not yet there. Do you know you have greater capabilities than what you are doing right now? Thank God for what God has helped you to do this year. You can do better. Oh, I thought I have an amen. You see, that's part of the process of stock taking. You look at what you have potential for that you are not yet manifesting. Everybody here, with an exception, has great potential. You can make a better use of your time. You can get more out of a year with better management. That's why part of the principle of stock taking is that you look at what you have potential for. I have potential for 20, but I'm bringing out 10. No, you can do better. Amen, somebody. I said amen, somebody. A man once said, if we did all the things that we are capable of doing, we will literally astound ourselves. You will surprise yourself if you do all the things that you have capabilities for. The problem is that we don't challenge ourselves enough. I want to encourage you tonight, take the challenge. Part of stock taking is that when you look at your, let me say it before I forget. When we talk about potential, do you also mean that, do you also know rather that your potential is your possibilities? Yeah. Your potential represents the possibilities that lies ahead of you. Possibilities that God wants you to explore. And by the grace of God, you will explore in Jesus' name. Grounds and territories that you can take that you have not yet taken, that shall be taken in Jesus' name. Please don't settle for little. Don't settle for less. Listen to this. Once you look at your once you look at your potential or the things you have potential for that you are not manifesting, what you should begin to do is that you now start challenging yourself to greater things. You start. Listen, that's why I feel like telling somebody it's time to take initiatives. It's time to walk on the water. It's time to go in the direction of your dreams. It's time to face your fears. It's time to chart new territories. It's time to explore new possibilities. And that will be your testimony in the new year in the name of Jesus. But part of the process of stock taking is that we do what? We look at the things that you have potential for. Tap your neighbor and say, you have great potential that you have not yet explored. When the angel appeared unto Gideon, Judges 6 verse 12, what did he say? He says, the Lord is with you. What? What did he call him? He never saw himself as a mighty man of valor. He never saw himself. Do you know that God knows our true capabilities? Do you know that God knows you better than you know yourself? There's a giant in you. Amen, somebody. Hello, somebody. And listen to this. God wants us to die full. Not go to our reward. And die empty rather, sorry. Thank you, then. Die empty and not full. God does not want you to go to your reward full of the potential, the abilities and the talents that is buried within you. So tell your neighbor, say, start looking at the things you have potential for that you are not manifesting.
That's part of the process of stop taking.
Then number eight, look at your challenges, look at your struggles, and the things you need to improve. Listen, you will agree with me that there are areas of challenges. You have to be frank with yourself. There are things you didn't do well, probably. There are things you are not strong on. There are things you didn't pay attention to. Amen? You see, part of stock taking is that we must be able to look at our struggles. I do not deny the fact that I'm strong on all things. Part of getting better, part of getting stronger, you will never improve until you are able to look at the areas where you are falling short and you begin to confront those areas. The Bible says, take out the foxes, the little foxes that spoils the vine. You must take out the foxes. Amen? Look at the number, say you can overcome them. That's the story of the prodigal. Luke 15, verse 17 and 20. His eyes open. Oh, hey! Omoni nakuna. That's another translation. Imagine. Apologies for people who do not hear you. What that simply means is that, oh, prodigal son that I am. You know, before, he never knew that he was prodigal. I mean, he never knew. Luke 15, 17. When he came to himself, he said, you wasted all this fortune. Nothing to show for all this fortune. You're a waster, boy. You're a waster. Amen? He saw those loopholes. He saw it. You know, when you say somebody came to it, it's not that he was sleeping before. An awakening took place on the inside. Something he never saw before. Something he never paid attention to. You know, at times when people are trying to correct you or something, at times people don't agree. You are fighting them. You are resisting them. You're saying you're the one that has a problem. It's not me. It's somebody. But you know, at times, there comes a time in the quietness of your heart, the serenity of your heart, those things begin to pop up and say, you know something? You need to work on those areas. You need to work on this, your anger. Because I don't get angry. They just don't understand me. You understand you? Are you sure that's the real reason? The real reason is that you have an anger problem. Amen? I said amen. You know, I was saying something. What of it? I'm laughing at this story I want to share. I know I have a tendency, this is part of one of my own weakness. At times, I tend to rely too much on, you know, especially when somebody is supposed to do something for me, I just go to, you know, go to sleep. I remember an incident. There's a very close friend of mine who was supposed to help me to see a mentor of mine. Now, when I say a mentor, this is somebody I knew very well, but because of time, time or distance, I can't remember. But he was related to that person. And he was going to see the person. I said, when you get there, please put word on my behalf that I want to see you. I mean, it was a very important thing to me. Very important. You know what surprised me? By the time I got across to him, he didn't even remember one. That's a serious thing. I mean, that's one. That, number two, he didn't even get back to me. So while I was trying to reach him, he was unreachable. You know that kind of thing? I tried to call the phone. I said, this is not ordinary unreachable.
You know, there's a way you can be unreachable ordinarily, and there's a way you can be unreachable. You know what I'm talking about. Deliberately. The lines are not going through again. He's always going to voice me. Ah! I said, wait. Okay. So, I took hold of my destiny. See, I took hold of my destiny. I said, okay. Wait, maybe you have the number of your mentor. I do. Why are you trying to go through a go between where you can? Because I've always told you, take charge. Stop relying on it. So I sent a text to him. And he replied, oh, yes, you can see me. Let's fix this. We fixed the time. I went, amen, somebody. I didn't tell this person, and I went, amen, somebody. And you see, after a while, of course, the person was trying to reach me. I too became unreachable. Amen, somebody. Because I just felt that he had to know that what he did was wrong. Now people say, now people take it for granted. People take it for granted. I actually got angry. I don't get angry all the time, but I actually, this is why I got angry. On purpose and deliberate. He tried to reach me and became unreachable. My phone will ring and will ring out. There was somebody who was already very close to me who tried to speak to me. I too became like a rock of Gibraltar. Saying, no. But at that point, the person did that. Hey, something else. I have offended this, my friend. Of course, it's not that, you know, I wanted to get angry for getting, but I just wanted you to know that this thing is a matter of life. And I said, you got there, you forgot. How can you say you forgot? But God told me, God said, you are the one that caused it. Told you, things that you need to do, take decision. Take your own destiny in your own hands. Stop relying on, take it, take your destiny in your own hands. We have soft spots. Everybody has soft spots. Everybody has struggles, areas of challenge that you have to deal with sufficiently if you are going to take stock successfully. You know that some people, they don't like to offend people. So, my face is pushing me. Like they say, oh, did you win a job? Listen, if it's about your destiny, it's about your life, you have to be found. Amen, somebody. You cannot be giving people permission to hurt you and to trample upon you over and over. You are not a doormat. The fact that you're a Christian does not mean that you are a stupid person. I'm not saying fight to, I hope you know, I'm not saying fight time. Because I need to balance that so that people just say, yes! That's what I'm saying. Glory be to God. But there's a way, I tell people, there's a way you can politely say no. Politely. Say politely. Because at times, some people will not get the message until you wake out of your slumber. You come out of your shell. Look at your neighbor and say, I see things change. Let me touch on one more before I close. I said 12. Where are we now? Oh, boy. We have to close on 9 because my time is over. Number 9. Process of stock taking. Number 9. Look at your successes and how to consolidate on them. This is a very important part of stock taking. The things that has worked for you, the things that is working, build on them. You agree with me that there are things that have worked for you this year. There are things that has worked for you in your business. There are things that has worked with you with regards to time and it. Listen, learn those lessons and consolidate. What I'm trying to say is this, look at your assets and build on it. No matter how dark or ugly a situation is, there are some good things you will have been able to do. If you look at this year, for instance,
There are things that probably you did very well. As you take stock of your life, of your ways, those things that has worked for you, hold them in high esteem, treasure them, keep them. Those are the principles that will guard your life and serve you later. You know, anything that works, if you have mastered the act of succeeding at something, that means you have learned the principle. Keep it. It's going to serve you any point in time. Part of stock taking means looking at your successes. Looking at the things that have, you know, been successful, and consolidate on them so that you can have greater success. Amen? I said amen. Then probably let me just give you the 10th one. I will stop on 10th. Look at your competitors or your competition and profit from them. Someone said, what do you mean? Can I learn from my competitors? The answer is yes. Can I learn from my competition? The answer is yes. You see, most of the time, many people do not know that part of taking stock, whether of your life, your work, your time, the year, involves also looking at your competitors. Who are your competitors? What is your competitor? Or what are they? Everybody has a competitor or competitors. If you're in business, for instance, you need to understand that you're not the only one in business. There are competitors. There's a competition. There are things you are competing against. You must be able to look at your competitors, your competition, and profit. Say profit. Do you know that God can teach you valuable lessons from all kinds of sources? Even from sources that may not look godly. I once heard this very funny story. It's a very funny story. There was a church somewhere, and not too far from the church, there was a beer parlor. Even so, you know what they call it, beer parlor. They have dignified it now. They are calling it a lounge or club or bar. It's still a beer parlor. Imagine somebody. It's just like saying, what are you doing? Say, I'm doing tailoring. So say, I'm not tailoring. I'm not a fashion designer. Imagine somebody. But you still cut. You cut. Mrs. Ajibola. And I know Mrs. Praise the Lord, forgotten that name. He's also looking at me. But you see, cut. You must cut material. Amen. So that's the truth. Hello, somebody. So, all of a sudden, this was something. First year, this beer parlor expanded. The church was not growing. The church was. So, after 2 years, the pastor just went, I'm going to see this. You know, this. Now, of course, you will say, I'm going to see the man who owned the beer parlor. For what? You see, at times, through the mouth of babes and sucklings, God can give you strength. Through the mouth of the heathen, God can even speak. So you say, sorry, I'm your say, I will know you. I have observed you. For the past 2 years we are here, you are just buying this place, you are expanding. He said, we are here. We are doing the work of the Lord. He said, yes, I know you are doing the work of the Lord. He said, what's the secret? The man said, I know that I have a very bad product. He said, so I go the extra mile, to make sure that this, my bad product, is enticing to people. He said, you have the best product. I think the man said, you have the best product. You are not just doing enough to make it appealing and enticing. The pastor thanked him very much. He got a very important piece of what? Wisdom. The man knew that, of course, you know, at times when you hear some of the products adverts on smoking is in fact, they write it Godugba, say Godugba, somebody on the something. And people are still smoking, is it now smoking?
or drink it. Amen. He knows, Satan knows that it's a bad product. Why do you think that? You see, I was telling, I'm not sure whether it was one of my children I was telling, I said, you see that some of the adverts they do, some of these products now, they're trying to make it look fashionable, trying to make it look, it's the appeal to young people that, you know, that's what successful people do. Successful people that drink, Gouda or drink Star, even so much. These are just perceptions they are trying to sell. But we that have the product, the best product, what are you doing with the product of Jesus? That's what I tell people. I don't have any apologies for being a believer. Hello, somebody. And you must not be shy with Jesus. Not be shy with Jesus. It's over. Amen, somebody. Hello, somebody. Somebody, you see, it's, whether you know it or not, the way the world has gone now, somebody will be selling a bad product. Somebody will send you an anonymous number and say, hi, I'm Nancy. I'm available for whatever. Take this number. Somebody is selling a body, and you have the best product, and you are quiet. That's a slap of Christianity. You're quiet. You're quiet to your roommates. You're a cool guy. You come in, cool. Say, hi. Where is a nice guy? You don't tell them. I want to invite you to a special program. Say, come on, please, so much. People send anonymous text to you as they tell them they're available. This is my number. Just text. Somebody's advertising a product. That's what they call it. Are selling ourselves. And we that have the best product. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, you can't be shy about Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, go tell it on the mountain. Over the hills and everywhere. Let's proclaim it. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because of the power of God. I pray for you tonight that the revelation of this message will grow in your spirit and will birth changes in the name of Jesus. I pray in the name of Jesus that the blessings of stock taking will be yours in every ramification in the name of Jesus. Lift up your two hands, rise up on your feet. Lord, I declare tonight by the ministry of your word that the tools and resources you have placed into the hands of your people will be effective in helping them to take stock in the name of Jesus. You'll be in a better position. You'll be in a stronger position of taking stock. Stock of your life. Stock of your ways. Stock of your time. Stock of this year. And you will come out on top in the name of Jesus. By reason of the anointing tonight, I declare that every yoke is destroyed in the name of Jesus. I declare that ways have been made for you in the name of Jesus. You are lifted above every situation. You are lifted above every darkness. I declare in the name of Jesus, light and illumination along your ways, your paths. So shall it be in the name of Jesus. Come and lift up your hands and give him praise and thanksgiving tonight. Give him praise and thanksgiving tonight.